The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
What's up, jerks? It's the Answer of the Week featuring me. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. I would love to tell you that sitting across from me is Joe Patrick, but he's actually somewhere off roughly 100 and what? First in Blondo? Is that where you are?
Don't give away my location.
Let's give away your exact location so people can come visit you.
Absolutely not.
Don't be a baby. Joe Patrick is the other host of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Say hello, Joey.
Good evening, jerks.
Tonight, we are playing the Answer of the Week, and here's how it works. Every week, we ask the question of the week. See how that works? Answer, question, beautiful. Joe Patrick posts it on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can go there and type to your little heart's content. You can write a whole damn book for your answer, or you can call us at 402-819-4894. That's the Ziggurat hotline. You leave a message there, it's got to be less than 2 minutes, or if you're feeling really fancy, you can send us your MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Again, under 2 minutes. And you can answer a question that sounds just like this one. Joe Patrick?
This week's question was, in honor of Lando Calrissian getting his own comic book series, who is your favorite comic book scoundrel?
Ooh. Sexy. Little good. Little bad.
Roguish.
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 Scoundrel, if you will. Let's go straight to Lord Stephen Fino, the THN Master of Coin. Take it, Stephen.
Hello again. This is Lord Stephen, Master of Coin, sending in my answer to the question of the week. This came to mind immediately as soon as I heard the question. The best comic book scoundrel, by far, I'm going with the Hellblazer, John Constantine. So John is the biggest bastard you will ever meet, but he still has a good heart in him, be it when he's tricking the devil into drinking a beer made out of holy water to save his friend's soul, to having sex with a virgin in order to stop the apocalypse from happening when he has sex with an angel, and all the way to the Newcastle incident in which he accidentally sends an innocent child to hell.
Whoops.
And spends years trying to find a way of getting her out. So despite being a complete and utter by all accounts, he still has a bit of good in him to make him a fantastic character and my pick for the best comic book scoundrel. See ya.
Funny thing about the C word in Europe, it doesn't seem to carry as much weight as it does here.
But it does carry a lot of weight here, and Steven is from America. So we'll be bleeping that.
That will be bleeped, certainly. But a very solid answer, sir.
Totally.
John Constantine. I have a feeling we might get a couple of those.
It's a good answer.
It's a very good answer. The guy is a complete bastard. Constantine, star of Hellblazer. He has a new book at DC right now. John Constantine, Hellblazer. We reviewed it on the show. We both liked it. It was fun.
It was good. Yeah, yeah. I liked it.
It was really good. Riley Rossmo is doing the art. Talented guy.
Beautifully drawn.
Let's move on to Tim Benson. Tim's become a new regular on the show. He's an old friend of Joe and I's, and we're glad to have him.
I can take him or leave him, really.
For the scoundrel question, it's a tough one because a scoundrel is actually an unprincipled, dishonorable person or just a villain. So best scoundrel goes to, you know, Dr. Doom or Kingpin or, you know, someone like that. But what you're asking is somebody with kind of a mixed side. So they're good, bad, maybe both. So my favorite scoundrel, I'm going to say Battling Jack Murdock. Dee Dee's dad is not a great guy. I mean, he tries to be good. He tries really hard, but I mean, he got himself into the situation. He threw a ton of fights, got himself in debt, got himself out of debt by doing some illegal stuff. And then, you know what, now I'm going to decide to do the good thing and not throw this fight, and everyone's going to be proud, and yeah, I'm going to get killed for it. So that's a good idea, right? Like, why not just Whatever. Okay, so Dee's got some dad issues and seems to only see the positive side in his dad. He doesn't try to remember all the things that he did that were terrible. He just remembers the, you know, when he needed to, he did the right thing and he was willing to die for it. And that really set the stamp on Dee. And, you know, it goes a little further. You can say, well, maybe if Battle and Jack was in different circumstances, who would he be? Like, what superhero would he be? I think he'd be the Punisher. I think Battle and Jack Murdock would have become the Punisher. Whoa. Given the right circumstances. And it plays really well when Dee faces the Punisher, that he understands that there's a gray area, but he took one of the lessons his dad gave him, and he took the good side of the battle, and that's the only side he's willing to take. That's the side of his dad that was worth remembering. And I think that's what makes a scoundrel great, is you're not quite sure what they're going to do, but you have hope and faith that they make the right decision when it really matters. And so Battle and Jack Murdock, favorite scoundrel.
Tim Benson can't help but make it about Daredevil. He can't help it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that call had to be longer than 2 minutes.
No, actually, he was right there.
All right, then.
Yeah, he was just under. He did it.
All right, then. I got my eye on you, Benson. Wooly Toots gave us a little bit of crap for letting the Orca break the rules.
I'm not sure what I'm not sure what he's talking about. I check every single one of these calls and make sure they're under 2 minutes. In fact, as I recall, I think it was Joe Patrick who was like, come on, it's the Orca.
I'm just saying.
Speaking of the Orca.
Oh, he promised me he was going to lighten it up this week. I don't know if he did or not.
Really? Did you talk to him?
Well, it's in his email.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
This here's the Orca. My favorite scoundrel in comics is the Will from Saga, drawn by our beloved Fifi Stapes. We'll get working at, Joey.
Yes.
Anyway, that guy's awesome. I like to think that his name is just William or something. But like me, he's added a touch of grandeur by adding the in front of it. Classy. Also like me, he's a handsome man who's not afraid of letting a little dirt stick around to add to that manly musky scent the females go wild for.
Hey-o.
The only difference between us is that he seems to prefer skinnier broads, while I myself like a softer, more bell-shaped physique. For example, my last little honeypot was about 5'2", 165 pounds.
Woo!
She was a bit long in the tooth compared to the other girls I bedded. She had more and more wrinkles every day. But like a ripe peach, that's how you know when it's the sweetest. It was actually the Will who was responsible for our breakup. Indirectly, of course, him being a fictional character and all. See, a few years back, I decided to dress up like the Will for Halloween. I made the old broad dress like the stock. She already had the same hair color, the same giant rump, and anyone who meets her, sees her on TV, agrees that she's a grade A bitch. We had fun that night. So much fun that I decided to keep wearing the costume well into November. I love the cape, the pants with the gold stripe down the side like Han Solo, and my freshly spray-painted cat seemed to be enjoying it too. Plus, it gave me a reason to keep a lit joint in my hand throughout the day. The old lady wouldn't wear her costume and kept washing off the extra eyes every morning after I'd draw them on while she slept. She's a heavy sleeper. She kept saying that it wasn't professional for me to show up at her office dressed like that. I said, you want professional? I'll show you professional. That night, instead of eyes, I rested the old fuzzy pickle on her forehead, took a picture. Then I sent the picture to her boss, to her husband, to everyone in her office, even USA Today. And she dumped me. I don't know why. It actually worked well for her. Her boss promoted her to Secretary of State. Now she's even decided to run for president. Well, she won't get my vote. Anyone in that role ought to have a better sense of humor. Kiss, kiss, boys.
Oh, well, Yorka apparently had a little fling with Hillary Clinton, I guess.
It takes all of the magic away when you just come out and say it like that.
Well, it's a good thing he lightened it up this week, as you said. Regardless, the Will from Saga.
That's a good answer.
It's a very good answer. And he is one good-looking scoundrel, I'll tell you what.
He's a handsome dude. As the orca said, he's a handsome fella.
Elise Wisdom, we haven't heard from her for a little bit. Hopefully she's gotten over the stalking incident. And I'm curious, will she go the same direction? Let's see.
Hey, listeners. Long time no see. It's Elise Wisdom. How you doing? Good? Awesome. Awesome. Glad to hear it. So for today's question about favorite scoundrel in comics, I actually had to look up the word scoundrel because I wasn't sure my idea of what a scoundrel is was correct. And I was wrong. Apparently, a scoundrel is a dishonest person with bad intentions. I always thought a scoundrel was something like a lovable rogue scamp. Like, he's kind of a ladies' man, and he would be skeezy if not so charming. So I'm going to ignore the official definition of scoundrel and insert my own, like any proper nerd would do. I think best scoundrel in comics is Stan Lee, by my own personal definition.
Whoa.
That's incorrect, but I don't care. He's basically the Hugh Hefner of nerds, so I have to admire the man for that. Love you, Stan Lee. Keep doing what you're doing, surrounded by beautiful women and being kind of an adorable, lovable 90-year-old perv. Wisdom out.
Something tells me that Stan Lee is not living in the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, I don't know if Stan Lee quite has the same kind of pull as Hef.
Yeah.
But you know what? From what I hear, living the Playboy lifestyle isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Every surface in that place is covered with hepatitis.
Something. I mean, at least B, you know, the curable
right.
one. Elise Wisdom. Thank you very much.
I like
much
that answer,
call.
Though.
Nice to
I
hear
like
from
Elise's
you.
Answer a lot.
Yeah. And she's right. We were going for the lovable scoundrel, not like,
look,
you know.
Whenever anyone hears the word scoundrel, I think that most people.
They go to Han Solo. They go to Lando,
they think,
right?
Yes. Like a thief with a heart of gold.
Right. Robin
you
Hood.
Know, you know, a rogue.
Robin Hood was a scoundrel.
Right. We misuse words all the time. Peruse. Do you know what the word peruse means?
Peruse. What does peruse mean?
Well, so when people use the word peruse, what they mean is like casually browse.
Okay.
But what peruse actually means is to read with great intent.
Really?
Yeah. It means like to super focus in on what you're reading.
Okay. Okay. Folks, we just learned something.
Yeah. Look, scoundrel.
Thank you.
It means
Joe
whatever
Parker.
We say it means, God damn it.
Right on. Let's go to Anthony Krepp, our man Anthony from Brooklyn.
Hello, nerds. Anthony from Brooklyn here with a very cliched answer. Cliched because I think a lot of people are going to have the same answer, but I don't care because this is my favorite scoundrel type character of all time. Now, science fictionally speaking, when one hears the word scoundrel, Han Solo might pop up in your head, but my guy out Han Solo's Han Solo. My guy is shooting Greedo first, and I'm talking about the captain of the Serenity, Malcolm Reynolds, star of small screen, big screen, and several comic books. Now, this is a guy who is desperate to go his own way, and in so doing, will go outside of the law to accomplish that. Thief? Check. Shooting an unarmed operative? Check. Kicking a guy into the turbines of his ship when a negotiation goes wrong? Check. Yeah, he's got a heart of gold and cares mostly for the people on his boat than anything else in the verse, but ultimately, Mal aims to misbehave. So, Captain Malcolm Reynolds, ye... Ha. Thank you.
Pretty sure it's the first time we've ever had to bleep Anthony from Brooklyn.
He warned us. He said there's a swear at the end.
He did warn us. Thank you, Anthony. Captain Mal from Firefly.
I love it.
Absolutely a scoundrel. No doubt about it.
Yeah, 100% agree. That's a great answer.
Love that answer.
Oh, man. First time caller.
Maybe.
Greetings, true believers. This is Dan Dashley, host of Dan Dashley Discusses, the best comic book review show that you've never heard of. In response to the question, who's your favorite scoundrel? Well, for my money, there's really only one scoundrel that managed to bend his way into my heart. I'm talking, of course, about Ragdoll from The Secret Six.
Hey.
Ragdoll is one seriously messed up individual, and given The Secret Six's standards, that is saying something. We're talking about a team full of banshees, people eaters, men dressing like cats. This is a team of seriously messed up individuals, yet Ragdoll manages to be the most messed up one. Due to a series of elective surgeries and just one seriously messed up childhood, Ragdoll brings to the table a mix of whimsy and insanity that's just downright refreshing to read about. Sure, Ragdoll's a murderer, a sexual deviant, and just a downright uncomfortable fellow to be around, but he knows it, he revels in it. Making people uncomfortable is just all fun and games to Ragdoll. And I think that it's that attitude, combined with a deep-down longing for friendship and understanding, that makes Ragdoll my favorite messed-up contortionist, and my favorite scoundrel, period. Ragdoll knows exactly who he is, he knows he's a messed-up individual, he wants people to accept that and love him for who he is, but if they can't, well, it's not going to stop Ragdoll from having a little fun with him in the meantime. Ragdoll's honestly about as far from a perfect person as you can be. And unlike our friend Lando Calrissian, who started this question, the Secret Six, they didn't really get a redemption at the end of their book. They left just as messed up as when they began. And honestly, Ragdoll's appearance in the latest issue of Secret Six was one of my all-time favorite moments of a series that I've already been enjoying. Ragdoll can make any team better, and I'm glad to see him back. I just hope Gail Simone doesn't shy away from trotting out those old Secret Six characters again. So there you have it, true believers. Ragdoll is my choice for my favorite scoundrel and my very first answer of the week. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as I did recording it. Until next time, this is Dan Dashley signing off.
Dan friggin' Dashley! That guy was incredible! And the fidelity of his call! Wow!
He is a local radio host, if I recall correctly.
Okay, he's great! I mean, you could tell. That guy's got some training. Did you hear him speak?
He knows what he's doing.
He makes us sound like idiots. Wow. That was fantastic. Yeah. Dan Dashley, welcome aboard. And that is a great answer. Loved that book. Sinister Six. Joe and I have gushed about that so many times. We adored that book. And I'd say you could pick anybody in that team for this answer, and it would work. Except for maybe Bane. Bane's still a pretty bad guy.
No, even Bane had his moments, though.
He did, but I would argue Bane was the one that was like still full-fledged bad guy on that team.
Fair.
But we're talking Ragdoll. Ragdoll could bend in all kinds of weird ways, had a creepy like doll face porcelain mask with like weird dreadlocks and stuff. Super creepy. Great character.
Yeah. And I need to get caught up on Secret Six. Like, I hated the first two issues.
Yeah, we panned it pretty hardcore. But now, we should let people know that don't pay a whole lot of attention. There was a previous Secret Six series that Joe and I very much liked, and this was years ago. And then there was a more recent Secret Six where they sort of brought it back, and it just didn't hit for us.
It was just a shade of its former self.
Yeah.
But issues 3 and 4, Dale Eaglesham does the art. It's like a whole different book.
Oh, wow. Really?
I haven't read them yet, but it looks like a whole different book, and I'm hearing some good things.
We should probably revisit that.
I'm going to get caught up. Maybe we can do it for that segment that I've been talking about.
Shh. Don't spoil anything.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Right now, let's go to Jesse Kiefer. Good buddy
final
of ours.
Final caller.
Our final caller. We met him at the O-Con. Good looking guy.
Comica.
Jesse Kiefer, good looking guy.
Gentlemen, it's Jesse again from GrawlixPodcast.com. I'm emailing in with my answer of the week. I don't have as deep a cut for you this time, but when I think of great scoundrel characters, the ones that come to mind really know how to get in your head, play on expectations, and then boom, flip things on their side. Just when you think Cloud City is safe, hey, guess what? You're encased in carbonite. So when it comes to getting in your head, nobody does it better than Alan Moore. In fact, Alan Moore himself might be comics' best scoundrel, but that's maybe too meta. So which Alan Moore character epitomizes scoundrel? That's easy. John Constantine. Specifically, Alan Moore's first run in Saga of the Swamp Thing. Swampy can tap into the elements of the earth itself, and yet Constantine can still wind him up like an old-timey pocket watch. Just sends him on missions all over the United States. He's in Swampy's head so much so that in issue 56, Swamp Thing is stranded on a whole nother world and creates his own bizarro planet out of blue plants. And even there, Swamp Thing's subconscious creates a blue plant Constantine just to bust his own chops. Now that is a head trip. Now I'm just scratching the surface on John Constantine, but there it is. Alan Moore's John Constantine, best scoundrel. Take it easy, guys.
Another vote for Constantine. Always good to hear from you, Jesse. Thank you for your call, buddy. And that's a real solid answer.
Yeah, I love it. Again, I really like the Constantine answer, and it's tempting not to just automatically pick him.
I know, right? And I was super tempted. I dug a little deeper for mine.
Well, all right. Well, then let's go into yours. But before we do,
favorite caller. I'm going Dan Dashley, man. Ragdoll.
Ditto.
That was great.
Ditto. That was great.
First of all, I didn't even think about Ragdoll. I love that choice. Second of all, man, that guy's got a great voice.
Yep. I loved it. It was a wonderful call, a wonderful answer. And I was struggling to pick my own answer. And I think he may have inspired me.
You're going to go for Catman? Is that what you're doing?
I'm not going to reveal anything. You go ahead and go right into yours.
All right. I'll do mine. Mine is a Marvel character. We'll see if you can guess him. Created by Howard Chaykin. He grew up in the 20s, lying and cheating and stealing on the Lower East Side. And then one day, he saved a young Steve Rogers from a group of bullies. He worked as an escapist in Coney Island. Didn't have a whole lot of luck with that. Ended up moving back to his lying, cheating, and stealing life. Later on, became a fellow spy. Worked for AIM for a little bit. Worked for Hydra. And then, like, broke off. Sold some secrets from them and stuff. His real name? David Fortunov. I'm talking about Dominic Fortune.
Yeah, when you said Howard Chaykin, I thought it was Dominic Fortune, but I guess I never knew his origin. I didn't know that stuff about Captain America.
I love Dominic Fortune. He is such a great character. Ladies man, super sexy, card cheater. Like, he's any kind of con man you need him to be, and he's a spy. And most recently, I think the last time we saw him was in that Hawkeye and Mockingbird book.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who wrote that. Was it Sterling Gates?
No, it was Jim McCann.
That's right. It was Jim McCann wrote it. And they brought Dominic Fortune back, and he was still sort of this, like, seedy, untrustworthy guy, but he knew everybody. And they could drop him into any situation, and people are like, well, we can tell this guy. He's obviously bad.
So. Yeah. Well, in later years, his son kind of took over.
Yeah, Jerry.
His son adopted the mantle.
His son, Jerry Fortunov, took it over later on. And I think it may have been Jerry who took over Dominic Fortune. It may have been the one that we read in that Hawkeye and Mockingbird.
It may have been. Oh. He's coming back.
Yeah. Real
in
soon
something,
here.
What is it going to be? Shoot, I forget. But yeah, he's coming back. Dominic Fortune's going to be in a Marvel comic coming up in the next couple months.
Love him. I love him so much. Good friends with Clint Barton, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. My first exposure to Dominic Fortune was in an issue of Web of Spider-Man in the 80s, like Web of Spider-Man number 10
that
or something.
That was the first time I met him. Yes, it was awesome.
And the Shocker was trying to kill him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that book. Yeah. Let's see. Web of Spider-Man number 10, 1986. Yep. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a long time ago. So great. And it was always like he was always running around with Silver Sable for a while there, too, who was sort of a scoundrel herself, you know.
Like, I don't want to blow your mind or anything, but that was 30 years ago.
I know. We are violently old. Who's your favorite scoundrel, Joe Patrick?
Yeah, I had such a hard time with this question. I didn't want to just pick Constantine, though I do love Constantine. I didn't want to pick Han Solo because I thought everyone was going to pick Han Solo, and nobody did. Nobody picked Han Solo.
No one did.
But Dan Dashley's call, man. It opened up the floodgates, and immediately I knew Secret Six member, the best mustache at DC Comics.
Floyd Lawton. Deadshot.
AKA Deadshot.
That's a great call.
He didn't always have like a noble streak in him. He was originally portrayed as a pretty cold-blooded killer.
Yeah, for a long time he was just a psychopath.
Well, no, he was never a psychopath. He was like a contract, like a hitman, like a professional. But there was a Deadshot miniseries in the 80s that kind of humanized him a lot. That was all about Deadshot and his son gets killed.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really great book.
Who was that? Who wrote that?
I'm sure it was John Ostrander.
He had a son named Edward Lawton, nicknamed Eddie, who appeared in the original Deadshot series. He is later sodomized and killed. Jesus.
It's bad. Like, the kid is brutalized.
In the second miniseries in 2005, Deadshot discovers he has a daughter, Zoe.
That's by Christos Gage.
Okay.
And that was one of Christos Gage's first solo things when he was an up and comer.
The original Deadshot series. I got to look this up.
And that Deadshot mini plus Gale's Secret Six book just went a long way towards making Deadshot this character, this complex character that, yes, he was a killer, and yes, he would do whatever for money. And, you know, yes, if there was a paycheck in it, he'd probably turn on his friends. But he was also fiercely loyal to the people that counted.
Oh, it was 1988. John Ostrander wrote it.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was a great series.
I love Deadshot. I love Deadshot.
Yeah. He really was a complex kind of villain who, like, as we learned, had way more going on than we thought and wasn't, like, motivations that we might not have understood. Very much a scoundrel, if you will.
Yeah.
Good answer, Joe Patrick. You pulled that out of nowhere, too.
Thanks to Dan Dashley, man.
Nice job, Dan. You saved us all.
That's right.
Not a whole lot of answers, but good ones.
Seven. Yeah. It's a good solid number. Seven answers.
That was fun. I want to thank everybody that called in. Dan, welcome aboard. Good to hear from you. Elise, good to have you back. We missed you for a little while there.
Welcome back, Jesse.
Always good to hear from you, buddy. We have a new question of the week. It's already up. Joe Patrick, tell him what it is.
It's already up. Let me get the exact wording because it's a little, it needs a little explaining.
Okay.
I'll do it in my best impersonation.
Of?
Because this week's question comes straight from the mind of Wooly Toots.
Oh, okay.
Quote, what is your favorite unofficial / unlicensed guest appearance in a comic? What the hell do I mean by that? When an artist secretly or casually drops another company's character into a book. Here are some examples. Todd McFarlane dropping Felix the Cat into all of his artwork. Arthur Adams doing the same thing with Gumby. Frank Cho did a cover to Mighty Avengers number 6 with C-3PO hidden in a pile of Iron Man armor.
That's right. I remember that.
Characters dropped into crowd scenes. You dig? End quote.
It's a deep cut. A deep cut only for the real nerds. I love it.
I already have an answer.
Oh, man. I think I do, too. I think I've got mine. That is so much fun. So you've got until this Friday, the 24th, to hit us with your answer. Alec Baldwin, the Alec Baldwin, is going to tell you how to do so. He is not thrilled about working for us, but he does the job.
Yes. For those of you that are bad at calendars, assuming this episode goes up tomorrow like it should.
It's going to.
That means you have until tomorrow to get us your answer.
I'm going to sit down and edit it right now. It is going to happen. Thank you to everyone that called. We're going to have a new episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast coming this weekend. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. But for now,
I'm excited to get back to it.
Girls and boys, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Alec Baldwin here, betting I could fart into a microphone and get more listeners than this show. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. Or I'll be forced to call the nerd police, who will send you to nerd prison where your nerd ass will get churned like nerd fucking butter.
Well, lady, just thinking about the Shaw haircut, you know? You tell your old man to forget about the clerical job.